Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Steppenwolf bringing us back from the Wayback Machine. 17 till the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Ted Fishman, one of the smartest guys I know, a real world thinker. He's the author of Shock of Gray. That's all about the aging of the world's population, which I consider to be a watershed work on that topic. He's the author of China Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World, which I've said many times has become one of my favorite books. Ted Fishman, thanks again for hanging out with us. Give us the website, please.
Oh, it's www.tedcfishman.com.
All right, don't forget the C in the middle there. Yeah. Ted, with the previous segment, we talked about the summit, what the president was working on with the premier of China. Is that his title?
That's right.
Okay, and so they had to roll their sleeves up and did a lot of work over there. In the meantime, we've been getting reports on the economy and business transactions between the two countries. I saw that the Chinese economy is dropping now down to around 7% GDP, and I heard someone say the other day, even though not long ago their growth had been 9-10%, it may not be that their overall growth is slowed as much as it is that it's grown so much that 7% is tantamount to 9% 5 years ago. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Just to correct myself, it is the president of China, not the premier. Another guy, Li Keqiang. 7% would be the envy of anyone else in the world. It's
right.
Still the fastest growing economy in the world. But for China, it says a whole lot of things. Number one, if you look at where China is getting the growth, it's not from the powerhouse eastern cities that traditionally drive China's growth. It's from the western cities.
Really?
And
what does that mean? What does that portend?
Well, for example, there's some, China has about 200 million metropolises with more than a million, 200 million, 200 metropolises with more than a million people.
Right.
And, some of those big places like Chengdu and Sichuan province, they're getting the growth that they were left out of in the first 30 years of China's economic reform.
Mm-hmm.
So now Chengdu is growing at around 15%, and they can do that because they started at a much lower level, so when economic dynamism comes into the economy, they grow very, very fast.
What does that mean? What does that shift in production mean internally to them?
Well, it means that for these other big cities, China's reaching the so-called middle-income trap, where they're having a hard time pushing the per capita incomes above $10,000. So in order to get that national growth, they have to continue to bring people up off of the bottom. And getting people beyond that low middle-income level is a much longer process than China imagined or hoped for. They hoped for a continued trajectory in the places that had the were on the leading edge before.
Right.
And this is a big problem.
Is this shift in projection, is it happening spontaneously or is it planned? What do you think?
It's been in the works a long time. There has been a go west strategy in China. In fact, the eastern cities are, in some ways, they're compelled to invest in the rest of China.
Huh.
But nobody expected the stall in the east,
right.
And I think that's a politically sensitive issue because the only thing the government really promises the people is economic growth. It doesn't really have an ideology to stand on. And I guess in that way, it's like most of the governments around the world.
Right. So now let's talk about something a little more micro. Smithfield is one of the big food production companies in the United States, right?
Yes, it's a Fortune 500.
They produce a lot of hogs.
They produce a lot of hogs. They are the parent company of Armour. They're an iconic brand for America. I guess they go back to the settlement of the Virginias by the English.
Wow.
And
now they're going to be bought out completely by the Chinese?
And it will be the largest acquisition the Chinese have made in the United States, $4.7 billion.
Right.
It will double the number of workers working for Chinese companies.
And all I could think about, Ted, when I heard about this transaction, was thousands of hogs floating down the Guangxi or whatever the river was over there, and they never did find out why those hogs wound up dead in the river in their drinking water supply.
Well, this is the answer to that. You know, I think bringing in certifiably good meat into China is something that the Chinese consumers crave. If you go into a Chinese grocery store, there are gigantic signs from the milk that comes from New Zealand because of all the milk scandals in China.
Hmm.
And, you know, the idea that China has to bring in milk all the way from New Zealand, even though it has gigantic dairies of its own,
right,
is all a food safety issue. And the Smithfield brand gives them a supply chain which is solid, healthful, and so
well,
on.
Why did we have to sell the company to them? Why couldn't we just sell them our pork?
Well, as we can sell them our pork, we'll continue to sell them our pork.
Are you concerned about this transaction?
If you see a lot more like this, where they really start taking a gigantic portion of our food business, our agribusiness.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, agribusiness is one of the biggest businesses in the United States.
Yeah.
It employs one out of every seven people in the United States. So even a $5 billion acquisition is a drop in
but
the
market. But couldn't this become a trend? Is this the camel's nose under the tent, so to speak?
Yeah, just what I'm saying. So in the resource areas that China is really determined in creating security, like mining products, petroleum, and so on, it has been very, very aggressive. And if it starts doing that in food, then they will get pricing power
when we come back. I'm going to ask Ted, how do we control this? How do we rein this in? What should the national policy be? And we'll do that after these messages with our good friend Ted C. Fishman. That's the name on the books. China Inc. and Shock of Gray. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.